series exploring many of the different psalms that we find in the book of Psalms. And then we come to this last one, Psalm 150, which sort of wraps them all up, ties them all together. And it seems a simple psalm of just utter praise to God, listing all the ways that we can praise God and all the instruments that we can praise God on. So it seems appropriate today that those of you who like to be active whilst you listen and like to have something to do whilst I'm talking, at the table at the back, you would have gone past it on your way in. There is a whole load of stuff with which you can make instruments. So I challenge you to go make an instrument to praise God on if you would like to. Megan and Laura are there. They will help you out. So if you want to go and make an instrument, feel free to come and go. Once you've gone there, you can leave there and you can go join there later. I'm just saying, be free to move around. So this sermon series on Psalms, I really hope that you have managed to hear more than one of the sermons that we've had over these last 8 weeks. Because we've had so many different insights from six different speakers, actually, across this 2 months. And there's been some really interesting things drawn out of all of the different types of Psalms that we've looked at. And I hope you've had an opportunity to see how the Psalms can speak into such a huge range of human emotions. If you've missed any of them or missed any of the themes, I really encourage you to go to our website, go to the sermon page, and listen to them again. They are well worth a listen or a re-listen. Now, one of the reasons that we did a whole series on the Psalms is that I think as a church, not St. Philip's, as a church with a capital C, we can be guilty of presenting a front, a rather glossy front that sort of says that God is awesome and everything in life is awesome as soon as you follow God. And life is just, full of peaches and cream when we follow Jesus. And that kind of makes sense that we've done that because historically the church has also been guilty of the opposite, saying that God is full of wrath and wants revenge and you're all sinners and it's all terrible. And that put a lot of people off the church. And has still does put a lot of people off the church. So I can see why we then change and we think, well, let's present the other side of God. But then we run that risk of trying to make everything all rosy and ignoring the very real fact of life that it's not all peaches and cream. And we all suffer from various different highs and lows and traumas and joys and a whole rainbow of emotions and events that go on in life. What we need to do now in this generation is find a new way of presenting the gospel, a new way of communicating God's good news, God's great news of saving grace, endless love, inspiring power, which is real for people and actually meets people where they're at, where they're actually living, provides hope and a vision for the future. A gospel that is free from the baggage of organized religion down through the ages, and yet without losing some of the wisdom and gifts that organized religion has given us. We need to find a way of coming back to the heart of worship, if you like. The true, pure motivation behind all we do in our walk with God. And this is where I think the book of Psalms begins our journey back to finding this gospel. It's a new way of telling the good news. I mean, ironically, it's not new at all, is it? It's thousands of years old. But coming back to it afresh gives us a way of communicating this gospel because the Psalms are relatable. They give permission for not everything to be all rosy and good in life. And they show us how to do faith, how to do this following God and being faithful to God, allowing God into our lives, despite life being difficult or not always rosy. So over the last 2 months, we've looked at how to handle frustration, how to handle disappointment with others, with God even. We've looked at how we begin to process feelings of abandonment or feelings of emptiness, or how we face feelings of guilt or deep sadness or fear. There's also lots of Psalms we haven't looked at, which seem to describe the individual going through bouts of depression or anxiety or facing serious illness. All these things are very much about real life, the raw stuff we all go through at some point or other in our lives. And all of these Psalms, the ones that explore really difficult topics, model for us a way which is helpful to manage faith and challenges in life. They sort of talk about taking it to God in all honesty. Don't hold back. It means that we're then not repressing anything in us. We're allowing ourselves to express it, but not in a way that harms others. And we're not repressing it in a way that harms ourselves. We're taking it to God, God who can take it, God who can handle that, God who is big enough to cope with it. That is the safe place to share and express all these feelings that we have as humans. And then once we've taken it to God in all honesty, the Psalms invite us to just wait in that moment, to just sit and see where God meets us in it. Many of the Psalms then show that God, in God's power, can change the situation. Well, actually, interesting, not change the situation, but change the psalmist. So changing perspective, changing understanding, which enables the individual to then cope with what is happening. Although not all of the Psalms do this, I love the ones, and we have looked at a couple, which don't seem to have a resolution, but seem to give permission for the fact that some situations are just rubbish and seemingly unchanging. But then we've also looked at lots of Psalms that are full of praise and glory, and they are songs of worship to God. Worship to God for God's goodness, for God's faithfulness, for God's saving power, for God's glory in creation, for God's wonder in scripture and in the law. And actually, these Psalms are often the ones that are most well known, aren't they? Because let's face it, it's a lot easier and a lot more enjoyable to read the good things rather than read the difficult things in life. Especially on a Sunday morning for a preacher, it's easier to focus on the good and the positive, rather than taking us on a journey to look at the challenging. But I hope that this sermon series over the last 2 months has sort of shown you that it's really important that we take everything to God, that actually God wants to know everything about us, experience everything with us, to share it with us and help us through it. And then we come to Psalm 150. The last psalm in the book. And I find it really interesting because from on the surface, Psalm 150 seems like it's just one of those all-out praise psalms. We're just ending on a high note. It's all about praising God with all that you have. But actually, let's think about it in context. Psalm 150 is your concluding paragraph to a book. It is the psalm that wraps up everything that has gone before. So if we're saying that the whole book of Psalms is teaching us how to do all of life, all of real life with its ups and downs and good and bad, how to do all of that with God, then actually Psalm 150 must somehow be tapping in to all of it, to conclude all of it. And so let's look at it. Psalm 150 talks about all the ways to make music to God. You might interpret it, you might have read it and thought, yes, it talks about all the ways to make a joyful noise to the Lord. Well, I would challenge that word joyful. It talks about ways of making noise to the Lord, certainly. But let's just explore all of those instruments, because I was reading through this psalm and I suddenly thought, do you know what? They are all very different. All the noises they make are very different. And if we think and relate them to where those instruments are also used in scripture and how they're used, It gives us a different slant to this Psalm 150. The psalm talks about making sound on a trumpet, using trumpets. Well, trumpets are often associated with victory, aren't they? Victories from battles, the pomp and the ceremony of an occasion. They're used in a victorious celebration. Think about Joshua and that Battle of Jericho, walking around the walls of Jericho with the trumpets and the walls come crumbling down. Trumpets are a victorious noise. But then the psalm talks about the harp and the lyre. These are much more gentle sounds, much more melodic. They're soothing even. They're not the usual instruments. If you want to go and make a really joyful noise, I mean, you can play joyful tunes on them, don't get me wrong, but they're not your go-to if you want to make a loud celebratory noise. They're much more calming and gentle and reflective instruments. And in fact, David used to play the harp or the lyre, stringed instrument, for Saul. When Saul was in one of his moods or his rages, he called on David to play the harp to calm him down. Then we move on to the timbrel or the tambourine and dancing in the psalm. Now, these are much more sort of suited to sort of impromptu celebrations, that moment where you haven't planned anything, but you just are filled with joy and you just need to dance and celebrate and bang a tambourine. Think about Miriam when they crossed the Red Sea. The Israelites have been rescued from Egypt. They've crossed the Red Sea. They are free. And Miriam leads the dancing and the singing with tambourines. And then we talk about strings, stringed instruments and pipes. Now, I don't know that these are specific to a mood. You can play all sorts of different songs and tunes and moods on them, but they do imply a much more orchestrated type of music, a planned worship. And actually, in a lot of the books on Kings and I just keep having Corinthians go through my head, Chronicles, I knew it was a C. When in Chronicles, it talks about temple worship. It talks a lot about stringed instruments and pipes being part of the temple worship. So the very formal kind of worship, communal worship together. And then finally, we end with the cymbals. The cymbals have two lines, the clash of the cymbals. Again, they could be wildly celebratory, or they could be angry, but they're all about noise. They're not really melodic, are they, cymbals? They don't really make a lovely lyrical tune, but they do make a very, very loud noise. So that loud noise could be quite jarring. It could even be seen to be quite aggressive. It's not necessarily always that joyful noise. It could be quite an angry kind of instrument. I'm sure it's one you can get out a lot of frustration on. So I would argue, as we look at Psalm 150, it's doing much more than just saying, praise God, with joyful noise. What it's doing is it's telling us that actually use music in all the ways that it enables us to express our emotions. Wherever you're at, use the appropriate instrument to praise God. Whatever mood you're in, whatever events you're going through, use these instruments in that way to bring praise to God. Because music does that, doesn't it? It connects into something that we can't always articulate. It's why it's so powerful. But the key thing is that whatever instrument we use, because whatever mood we're in, whatever instrument we turn to because of our mood, the key is that we are praising God for God's goodness. Because the truth is, no matter where we are emotionally, no matter where our heart is at and what's going on in life, the truth about God remains that God is powerful. God is almighty. God is great. The creator of the universe and all that is in it. The savior that came to earth, that came to humanity to draw us to himself. These are the truths about who God is, and we can praise God for that, no matter what we're going through. Because I want to explore a key point with you. Praise is not necessarily about being joyful. Praise is about honoring and celebrating who God is, the truth. I first started to explore this idea when we went into lockdown in 2020, because I don't know if you remember, but very soon after we went into lockdown, it was Easter. It was Easter Day, traditionally the most joyful day in the church's calendar. The day that we proclaim, He is risen. And we all respond, He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. And we're used to doing that as a church together in a joyful way. Well, suddenly in 2020, we found ourselves all isolated. Most of us filled with a lot of anxiety, a lot of uncertainty about life. There was actually very little joy around. And yet, we came to Easter Day where there was a truth. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. That praise wasn't about joy. It didn't come from a joyful place, not for me at least, on that Easter Day. But praise is not necessarily about joy. It's about honoring God for who God is. So this psalm is a psalm that sums up the entirety of the book of Psalms, because it is a call to praise God with our whole lives, regardless of what we are feeling at the time and what we're going through, but praising God for who God is. It's not a psalm that says ignore everything. It'll all be okay. Just praise God and it'll all be fine. It's not saying that. That's why it lists all of those different instruments with their different tones and their different moods. I think it's giving us the tools to work out how to praise God when we're angry. Go grab a cymbal. How to praise God when we're feeling sad. Go listen to a piece of harp music. There are different ways of praising God, whatever mood we're in. Praise is about something much deeper than an expression of happiness or joy. It is a statement of giving God the glory and the honor which is God's due. Choosing to let God meet us where we are at, whatever we're going through. This is what the book of Psalms has taught us all through: the fundamental glory of God and showing us how to orient our lives around God's goodness. So wherever you are at today, whatever mood you are in, whatever instrument speaks to you today, or even next week, next month, next year, I pray that you will hold on to these words, that you will know the power of God and be able to praise God with whichever instrument is appropriate at that time. To know God is the source of it all, and we should give Him the glory. Amen.